The book of Numbers in chapter 6, reading at verse 22. Well, the verse is often put in autograph books in the line, but really, for your enjoyment and mine, when I was conscripted for national service in 1953, I was sent out to Egypt. I went down to Egypt, bad place to go down to. But nevertheless, I went down to Egypt for 18 months. And the saints of God, they gave me a little notebook. Everyone in the assembly just gave me a little text. They gave me a verse, just to encourage me while I was there. I still have the notebook. And I do take it out and I take a look at it from time to time. Look at the names of the saints of God that said they would pray for me and gave me a verse of scripture. Very, very thankful for the preserving hand of God while I was there. And one of them had actually written these verses in. Here they are, verse 22. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron and unto his son, saying, on this wise ye shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. The Aaronic blessing that the Lord gave to that people. Now, when we actually come to the book of Leviticus, and chapters 8 to 10, in the book of Leviticus, chapters 8 to 10, we find how Aaron was consecrated to the ministry that God gave to him in the tabernacle. In chapter 8 we have his consecration. In chapter 9 we have his ministration. The first time that he actually approached that altar and offered sacrifice to God. And then in chapter 10 sadly there's a violation of the mind of God in relation to worship. And as a result of it, two of those boys, Aaron, that were ministers with him, the Lord dealt with them and they died before the Lord. But when we come to this ministration, in chapter 9 it tells us that when Aaron came down from offering the sacrifice, it says he lifted up his hands and he blessed the people. But in the book of Leviticus in chapter 9, we're not told what the blessing is. We have to wait until we get to the book of Numbers to find out what the blessing is. And here is the blessing wherewith he blessed the people. But remember how it says, speak unto Aaron, his son, saying, on this wise. So we have the blessing in the fact that he blessed them in the book of Leviticus in chapter 9. But we've got to wait until we come to Numbers chapter 6 for that blessing. Now Numbers chapter 6, it is still within the perimeter of the children of Israel being gathered round the tabernacle. And they were here at Sinai for 1 year and 1 month. In that 1 year and 1 month, the tabernacle was built and the people began their service. And it was after that 1 year and that 1 month that they started their journey then towards the promised land. And here in the book of Numbers, up to chapter 10, they're still around the tabernacle. And here, the blessing of God is there. Now, I was a little intrigued when I came across this and I was studying the book of Numbers. I suppose I was a little surprised to find the blessing here. And I wondered why it was here. Why didn't Aaron give me this blessing here in the book of Leviticus in chapter 9? Why aren't we told there what the blessing was? Why do we wait until we come to the book of Numbers? The Bible never makes a mistake, does it? If we go to the opening verse of the book of Numbers, chapter 1 and verse 1, it might give us a little clue. Because in chapter 1 and verse 1 it says, the Lord spake unto Moses in the wilderness of Sinai, in the tabernacle of the congregation, on the first day of the second month, in the second year, after they came out of the land of Egypt. And here we find in the book of Numbers that we've got a people that are in the wilderness. They're linked with the tabernacle, and they've left the world behind. And child of God, where we need the blessing of God is when we're on our pilgrim journey. For these were on their pilgrim journey. And we need to know something of the blessing of God as we're on that journey. Now again, I wanted to know why it was in chapter 6. Obviously, I've been reading in the earlier chapters before I came to chapter 6 and studying them a little. It seemed to dawn on me just why it was here that we find the blessing. And to me, very, very interesting as we come to look at it. What's before us in chapters 1 to 6, shall we say? In chapters 1 and 2, we discover that he's bringing before us warriors. Warriors. Now, just take a look at that, please, at verse 2 of chapter 1. It says, "Take ye the sum of all the congregation of the children of Israel, after their families, by the house of their fathers, with the number of their names, every male by their fathers, from 20 years old and upwards, all that are able to go forth to war." They're soon to go into the land of Canaan. The 40 years wandering has not begun yet. They should have been just within a very short while going in to take battle against the enemy. And what I do like, child of God, is that they were taking the battle to the enemy. They were not letting the enemy bring the battle to them. They were going forth to war. We're moving through hostile territory now. We're in a hostile world. And Christians today are letting the world overrun them and bring them down to control them. No, child of God, it's our business to take up the battle for God. And in chapters 1 and 2 we have the warriors. We'll come back there in a moment. And I'm going to show that if the warriors are doing the work for God, then when I come to chapter 6 we get the blessing. But we need to take the fight for the enemy. Rather than let the enemy ever do the attack as far as we're concerned. But when we come to chapters 3 and 4, chapters 1 and 2 have to do with the warriors. Chapters 3 and 4 have to do with the workers. The workers. Now the workers were the Levites that attended to Aaron and his sons in all the ministry of that tabernacle. Remember the amount of work that was done. And great the men that did that work. A family of workers. And their responsibility, as we'll see in a moment, was to see that the tabernacle taken down, and they were to see that tabernacle carried through the wilderness. 41 occasions were taught where there was a movement when that tabernacle was taken down and put back together again. And a family of Levi, three of their sons, each had a responsibility, a various responsibility in connection with that tabernacle. To see that that tabernacle was put back exactly as it was taken down. You know, I suppose we're 2,000 years since the foundation of divine things, aren't we? And everybody's looking for change. Everybody. We want to change divine things. They're all changing the Bible, you know. I don't know why it's good enough for me from the time I got saved when I was 15. Just an authorised version. I'll be 75 next month. In fact, on Wednesday, I think I said last night, what will it be? 60 years since when I got saved. Praise the Lord, on Wednesday. I tell you, if the Lord hasn't come and I'm still alive, I'll have a lot to thank God for on Wednesday morning. 60 years saved. No wonder I'm not in a way. But 60 years ago I got saved through reading my own eyes. 60 years ago the Reverend prayed thee and thou. 60 years ago the meetings were just as they happen today in our assembly. I'm straight, I never got tired of it. And I don't want any change from it, thank you very much. I'm very happy to remember the Lord Jesus in his own appointed way. And I'm glad we still have an hour's gospel meeting. Oh, you know, it's too much for the world. We'll bring it down to 45 minutes. And we all stay awake just the same as they did when we had an hour. Isn't that right? It's not for the world, child of God, it's for the weakest of believers. They don't want it either these days, sadly. And we could just go on, couldn't we? Well, I'm very thankful, let me tell you. for that tabernacle. It never changed. God does not change his mind. Now, I'm not saying that what we do is divine altogether. It's horizontal. I do believe we should preach the gospel. I certainly do believe that we should remember the Lord Jesus. I still believe that we should maintain dignity in the presence of God and be careful in our language of God. I get very disturbed with young, not so much young men, older men that have changed the language and become flippant with divine things. I get very disturbed with that every time. That never at any time. God knew what he wanted in the beginning. And the Bible tells you what God wants now. They're getting rid of the head coverings, aren't they? They're allowing the ladies to speak. Gospel halls are bringing in a one-man ministry, a pastor. Where are they? I want to tell you, it's not of God, child of God. That never ever changed, and this book has not changed either. The blessed thing when you and me uphold it. And thank God for those workers in chapters 2 and 3. But their business was just to see that God got what he wanted. That's all. Some of them, you know, of those workers, they had to look after cords and pins. Here's the cord, you know, holding this thing up here. And little pins. Not very important, you know, are they? You don't need to worry about those too much. They didn't lose a cord. And they didn't lose a pin. Some people seem to think, so long as you've got the basics, you know. No, child of God. You uphold all the word of God. My blessed Lord spoke of every jot and every tittle. Now I don't know anything about Hebrew. I know a bit of Greek, Alphabet, Gamma, Delta, and so on, but I don't know any Hebrew. What I do, I know I left. That's the first one. That's about as far as I can go. But I do know this, so they tell me the jot and tittle are the smallest points and so into the Hebrew language. And the Lord spoke about those very tiny bits. They were never to be lost as far as the language is concerned. It would be kept and would be fulfilled. Child of God, pins and cords. Let me tell you, there's nothing superfluous as far as the things of God are concerned. And a blessed thing when we have got workers that will see to it that the assembly is always as God decides it. But when we come to chapters 1 and 2 of the warriors, and chapters 3 and 4 with the workers, and we come to chapters 5 and 6, you've got those worshippers. The people themselves, the worshippers. And what I notice, that when we come to look at the worshippers, child of God, that when those worshippers are moving as God would desire them, when those warriors are all prepared to take a battle with the enemy, and those workers are watching over the precious things of God, and the worshippers are living as they ought to live, That's when God says, speak unto Aaron and say, lift up your hands, bless the people. Do you want the blessing of God? I fear that some of the changes today that are going on are because people, they think that a change might make for the blessing. Don't they? We want a blessing, don't we? I'd love to see God moving in mighty power. I tell you, I'm prepared to wait for God. I'm prepared to wait for God. I believe God can work in power, and I believe that God will work in power somehow. But I'm prepared to wait God's time. I'm just prepared to walk in the things of God as God wants it. That's what this is all about. So we discover but in chapters 1 and 2, we have the warriors, and then the workers, and then the worshippers. Then we get the blessing. Let's go back to chapters 1 and 2 for a moment, please. Because in chapters 1 and 2, when we come to look at the warriors, I note in chapter 1, they're counted. They're counted. And in chapter 2, they're counted. By that, in chapter 1, well, we read that expression, didn't we, in verse 2, take the sum of all the congregation. You were the counting. All the warriors. And at chapter 1, they're counted. But when it comes to chapter 2, they count around the tabernacle. Now, Would you notice, please, in chapter 1, that we've already read the expression in verse 3, when it says, from 20 years old and upward, all that are able to go forth to war. And in chapter 1, those warriors are for attack. But can I suggest to you that when we come to chapter 2, they're not for attack, they're for defence. And they're to defend the tabernacle. The things of God need to be defended. If they're going to attack the enemy as they come into the land, they're also going to see that the things of the precious things of God are defended. And they're set around that camp, three tribes on every side, all the way round, and they're set there as a defence for divine and holy things. So that here we discover, as we come to them, let's take a look for a moment of chapter 1, one or two very simple things. Will you notice that the first thing we find about them is that responsibility must mark them. Says verse 2, that you'll take it under the name, every male. Every male. I can understand that. The male speaks of responsibility. The female speaks of sympathy. Now, I can just imagine that today they don't seem to worry too much about putting a cash, whatever they call it, cash, kick off, I don't know, these machine guns, you know. They don't mind putting them to the ladies' hand. And they've got one from mine out there in Afghanistan, haven't they? They never have done it that years ago. Would they? They are doing that. God wouldn't let the ladies go forth to war. You see, they've got sympathy. When we come to the fourth stage, we shall see the children of Israel passing over Jordan and going up to Jericho. You know what happened there, don't you? And I can just imagine what happened there, too. And I can imagine, you know, a few of the girls that are in the army, and they're going up as the walls have fallen down. By the way, right in. They didn't fall down that way, you know. The ground opened up and swallowed them up. So they just fall from the path. But there's no rubble that they have to worry about. God saw to it, the ground opened up to take the walls down. And they just literally walked into the city. But could you imagine that? Young girl with a lovely little child. I love children. Love them. And I'm very thankful the Lord was very gracious and gave us 9 of them. And one of my daughters, a wife, just delighted with all that they gave her yesterday, the Mother's Day, the Remembrance Day. A very close family. One of my daughters just simply said, and Daddy, this is one of the blessings of having 9 children. And let me tell you, one of the sisters in the assembly said, you know, we all wish you to feel sorry for you when you kept having children. I don't know why, I left that with Dad. She said, now we end it. Now we end it. For whether we end it or not, let me tell you, I'm very, very thankful. I can just imagine. My wife did a stroke in her hand. And she comes across that weekend with a little child. Did she want to thrust it through? No, I tell you, she'd want to take it into her arms. She'd want to give it a wee cuddle. She'd want to take it home. She'd want to care for it. But you know, the enemy ever speaks of sin, doesn't he? And giving license to sin. And as the old Jungle Doctor story says, little lions become big lions, and big lions kill. God knew what he was doing, but he wanted the elimination of bad people in the day gone by. Little wonder the Bible says here, every male. When it comes to attacking the enemy, there can be no sympathy, child of God, and the fruit of the responsibility. But then you see, you'll notice too, not only a responsibility, but also maturity. He says, from 20 years old and upward. So look at that again. On the second stage of the journey. I leave that till then, God willing. But that will speak of maturity. You know, God didn't want babes. And again, I could take you through your New Testament. I wish that God could stop for a little while. And I could show you, child of God, how that sadly there are many, many saints of God, and such as those in the book of Hebrews, they were marked by immaturity. And you know why they were marked by immaturity? Because they haven't given themselves the word of God. Never developed, never grown, never appreciated divine truth. Says Paul, you've got, say, 40 years, and you need that some teach you the very first principles. And maybe that's the basis, you know. Sad things when we don't read our Bibles and we don't find that's the basis of divine truth. Very sad. God wants maturity in believers. And Peter tells us, desire the sincere milk of the word, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow up thereby. God wants us to grow, God wants us to develop, God wants maturity to mark us. But then, well, you notice, not only responsibility, not only maturity, but also ability. All that are able to go forth to war, so they are not even able to go. So they are not counted. The battle's serious, the enemy needs to be dealt with. And here in chapter 1 we find how that the warriors, they're counted. And if you go through the chapter, you'll see the various tribes and you'll see the number of people that there were that were counted to go forth to war. But when you come to chapter 2, they're not counted. In chapter 2, they're camped. And they're given a place around the tabernacle. As we said, if chapter 1 is for attack, chapter 2 is for defense. Now when we come to chapter 2, child of God, we discover that their business was to protect the tabernacle. You know, the largest complement of the forces was here at the gate. Can I tell you, as far as the assembly is concerned, it needs to be protected. It needs to be protected. That's why Paul, to Timothy, in the first epistle of Timothy, he says, as I left thee at Ephesus, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine. Some men would creep in, some men are brought in. They need that child of God to be, we need to be careful as to who creeps in, and careful who's brought in. And the largest complement of the army, I'm not going to go into these details just now, but the largest complement was right here, because seemingly the weakest point, of course, is the door. And that's where the problem would come from. So I noticed Judah and his company, they were all camped before the door. But then, I notice if you go round the tabernacle, over here was Reuben and those that were associated with him. You know, on this side of the tabernacle, child of God, it wasn't the door, on this side of the tabernacle there was a lampstand. Is the lampstand the word of God? I was speaking with somebody about this, I think it was with Glenn today, I'm not too sure, certainly recently. Made on the word of God today, you know. A tremendous attack being made. People from Assembly Fellowship. One man in particular. Terry Liz. This book's not inspired. A little verse, you know, in the, again in the book of Timothy, that has changed a little. The verse says, All scripture is inspired, given of God. Your revised version has changed it a little. All scripture given by God is inspired. And there are some scriptures, you know, that are not given by God. It's just what the men thought. Well, what are you going to choose? Tell me. Well, you'd have to take the words of the Lord Jesus, of course, in the Gospels, wouldn't you? And you'd have to take the words of the Lord Jesus in Revelation 1 to 3, because, again, he sent a message to the seven churches. You'd have to take that, because surely that's got to be inspired. That's given by God. What Christendom today is telling me, you ladies don't need a head covering. That's only Paul, you know. He was a woman hater. I don't know, Christendom today teaches me very, very clearly. And really, again, the women can take part of the gatherings, you know, because that really has nothing to do with the day in which we're living. don't know. The word of God being attacked. And in evangelicalism today, where they protest and overwrought, there are whole schools of men that do not believe in the inerrancy. That is the Bible can't hear. Child of God, I tell you, I believe it from cover to cover. And I'm very thankful many, many years ago, before Brethren became a little more intelligent than we are today. Genesis chapter 1, you know, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. You know, I threw out evolution years ago. Brethren were telling me there was a gap between Genesis 1, verse 1 and verse 2, and that great gap would tell me there was millions of years ago the original creation, and then God recreated. I decided years ago, no, my Bible doesn't seem to show that, and I'm not prepared to accept it. If the Bible tells me 6,000 years ago, according to divine reckoning, that this world was created, well, they can look at me as a fool if they like. I don't mind. But I believe God. I believe God. And I'm glad that the first requisite of faith in Hebrews chapter 11 is by faith we understand. Not by faith we believe, but by faith we understand the worlds were framed by the hand of God. So I can understand that, you see, because my faith accepts what God says. And I believe the book. And let me tell you, moving for the 10 years. Thank God for the Romans that were there to protect. You know, the amazing thing to me, the smallest complement of the army was at the back of the tabernacle here. Now, if you know anything about the tabernacle, you'd know that the holiest of all was just here. And the holiest of all was where the Ark of the Covenant was, where the presence of God was. And it would speak of the glory of God in all its fullness. And yet, the smallest company was here. Well, let me tell you, God's well able to look at his own things. And though they made attacks on the lovely person of the Lord Jesus, as they did when he was here, thank God. God can preserve the testimony. God can preserve the ark. But when you come here, there's a table, a place of fellowship. Well, that's what the table's all about. I love the table. When I got home on a Thursday night, many years ago, I would just go up to the bedroom, see my children, kiss them goodnight. And you usually fast asleep. It could have been 1 o'clock in the morning. And we'd wake up and put them under the bed. The next day, next morning, with a tracksuit over my pajamas, I take them to school. Brother never broke down. But that was it, you know. But the night, Friday night, there goes olive plants around the table, as the psalmist puts it. And the pleasure of my heart, just to be able to sit down and enjoy fellowship with my children. And the table's all about fellowship. God wants us to enjoy fellowship, you know. But the fellowship's being attacked today. God wants it preserved. Oh, thank God for the warriors. Can I tell you, child of God? If we're prepared to take the attack to the enemy, if we're prepared to defend divine things, this is where the blessing comes. No fancy things, you know. No changing of order. Not something new that's needed. Just maintaining what's for God and doing it God's way. That's when the blessing comes. Can I read chapters 3 and 4? In chapters 3 and 4, as we've already said, it's not the warriors, it's the workers. They're not counted and camped. But in chapter 3, we have their calling. And in chapter 4, we have their carrying. In chapter 3, we're told all about the names of those that were to have a responsibility and the work that they were to do. And in chapter 4, they were doing that work. You know, I believe they're just typical of the gifts that God has given to God's assembly. Now, and I notice both in the book of Romans, in the book of Corinthians, and I suppose we can add to it in the book of Ephesians. All gift is not placed in one man. And God puts his gift in a different man. And everyone must minister that gift as God gives him the ability. You know, not for me to tread on another man's toes. Not for me to put him on one side and try to do his work.
I couldn't imagine Gerson suddenly turning around to Kohath and saying, look, you've been carrying those vessels for an awful long time. You need one of these carts that the coverings are on, will you? And I'll carry the vessels.
No, sir. God gave me this responsibility, and I'll fulfill that responsibility. He gave you that work. And I never found any discussion amongst them as to who was to do what. They all knew the work that God had put into their hands. You know, I believe in God's assembly. God has given us bearing responsibilities. And what God wants you to do is to fulfill that responsibility. And if we're going to be warriors, and if we're going to be workers, as we ought to be, working for the glory of God, in God's assembly, to establish things for His glory, Father God, little wonder. The Lord bless thee, keep me the blessing hands. But let me come to chapters 5 and 6, because this again does affect most of us. In chapters 5 and 6, not the warriors, not the workers, but the worshippers. Here, not counted and camped and called and carried. But when I come to chapter 5, we've got a clean camp. A clean camp. But in chapter 6, a consecrated camp. And we find the believers. In chapter 3, there's a need to be clean. But in chapter 6, a need to be consecrated. Just take a look at the verses for a moment. I touched them very, very briefly. In verses 1 to 4 of chapter 5, you'll notice here that it has to do with what is unclean. And we're taught in chapters, in verses 1 to 4, how there's a need to put out. To put out. And it tells us, command the children of Israel, that they put out of the camp every leper defiled by contact. He that hath an issue, a breakdown of the flesh. Or he that, whosoever is defiled by the dead. You know, condemned child of God, condemned flesh. The dead is what I was before I got saved, Ephesians chapter 2. Dead in trespasses and sins. And child of God, if that old life starts to mark me, if I find again that leper's conditions mark me, and the flesh it breaks out in me, well, I do believe that what we've got here is what we have in the book of Corinthians in chapter 5. And in the book of Corinthians in chapter 5, the assembly was glorying in the sin that a man was committing. The apostle Paul tells them that glorying was not good, but how to learn here. Child of God, this is no place for uncleanness. There's a need for cleanness as far as we're concerned in the assembly. Don't let sin break out, will you? Don't defile your life. Your life could defile God's assembly, and that's a sad thing. Let us be this pure to God. You want the blessing? Let me see to it that there's a clean life in verses 1 to 4. But then, when you come to verses 5 to 9, it's not put out, it's put right. Put right. And in verses 5 to 9, what we discover is that someone has committed a trespass. Now, you know what a trespass is, don't you? To trespass is to violate somebody's rights. We used to see the sign in an orchard not far from home. And we're children. Trespassers will be prosecuted. We took the chance. And let me tell you, I never got prosecuted because I never got caught. I once heard his dog going, and I tell you, I made a rapid retreat. Very rapid. I think I nearly lost my trousers on his fence, but be that as it may, I was only a boy, you know. But a trespass is to violate somebody's rights. And here, in verses 5 to 9, we find that somebody's rights are being violated. Child of God, be very, very careful that we don't violate somebody's rights in God's assembly, will you? But will you notice an interesting thing? Because I notice in verse 6, it simply says, when a man or a woman shall commit any sin that men commit, to do a trespass against the Lord. Oh, but hold on a minute. When I come to look down here, I discover it's not against the law. It's against another person.
But child of God, if I'm not right this way with the saint,
I'm not right that way with God. I hope you don't know what his grudges are, don't you, brother? And I hope there's no animosity. I hope there's no spirit of hatred. I could spend a long time, I wish I could, you know. Because sadly these things come in amongst the saints. And child of God, if you're not right with the saints, you're not right with God. And there's a need to put matters right. And there's a lovely thing in connection with the trust of suffering. Because it tells me in verse 8, that if the man have no kinsman to recompense the trespass unto, let the trespass be recompensed unto the Lord, even the priest, beside the ram of atonement whereby he is given, and so on. And he goes on about a recompense. And you know, when they did put matters right, you steal £100 from me. And I get very disturbed. I need that man. I need a loaf of bread from Tesco's. The prices are going up, and I need you £100, please. But you've stolen from me. And you said, we've got a guilty conscience. You come back to me. He said, no, man, I give you back. Here's your £100. That's not enough. The Bible says, you've got to add to it. And you've got 20% to it. So, if I got £100 and you wanted to take it, but put that from over the 120, I'd be very happy. But that's just what, in other words, I'm going to be a lot better off afterwards. I never forget being in the North of Scotland. Two brethren fought like cat and dog. No, that's not true. One brother fought like cat and dog with his next door neighbour, and we were both brethren in New Sunday. And the one was going to take him to court because he built a wall. He got council rights to do it. And it went on and on, and the fellow was always at it. Well, I don't know if I was ministering on, but I remember at the end of that ministry meeting, these two brethren, they decided they were going to put matters right. Well, the assembly was very, very happy. You know, in the side room, they talked me about, and they came back out again, and they settled everything. Everything was fine. Only trouble is, the man that was always causing the arguments, his wife had gone home in the car. So his brother said, well, that's all right, Willie, he said. I'll take you home.
What? He said, I'm not in any car with you.
He settled with that. He still wouldn't claim. Child of God would have no second at all of that. No recompense. You know, we should be a lot better off afterwards than we were before. In our relationships with one another. But then, when you come into the end of chapter 6, from verse 11, it's not only putting down and putting right, but from verse 11, it's put to the test. And a husband thinks his wife may have gone aside from him. He doesn't know, he's got a feeling. So we have what's known as the jealousy test. You never find it in the Old Testament. I think we do in the New. Remember the Lord and resurrection ground to Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He's putting him to the test. Thank God, child of God, for a man that was able to say, Lord, thou knowest all the things, thou knowest that I love him. Well, it's a very interesting thing. It's an interesting study. There's some lovely things in the jealousy text, child of God. But there's a very interesting thing when you come down to verse 28. Well, it says in verse 28, after she's been put to the test, and that she's been found to be clean, it says, if the woman be not defiled, but be clean, then shall she be free, and shall conceive seed. Her faithfulness will produce fruitfulness. And I love the fruitfulness. I believe that fruitfulness is what we have in chapter 6. But in chapter 6, if in chapter 5 we've got a clean camp, in chapter 6, a consecrated camp, here's the man that's going to make himself a Nazarite. And I discover through this chapter, time and again, that little word Nazarite, it keeps occurring. Now, a Nazarite, child of God, it's just someone that prepared to go a little bit further than somebody else.
Take a look at verse 2, and I finish now. Speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them, when either man or woman shall separate themselves, that's the word Nazarite. Same word. When anyone shall Nazarite themselves to a vow of separation, a vow of Nazariteship, to separate themselves unto the Lord. Here was a people, and they were prepared to separate themselves unto the Lord. Oh, says somebody, but brother, you've told us they're already a separated people. They're already out of Egypt. They've already been baptized. They're already linked with the tabernacle.
Yes, but here's something we're going to go a little further. And again, we could spend a lot of time on those Nazarites and how they prepared to separate themselves under the Lord, child of God. Very, very interesting, the things that they're prepared to do, when I notice that it would affect their appetite. In verse 3, separate themselves from strong drink, from drinking vinegar and so on. Separate themselves in their appearance. When you come down to verse 5, there shall no rings that come upon his head. Now the Bible says it's a shame for a man to have long hair. Wouldn't mind having some of it, never mind long hair. There we are. But here's a man that deserves to bear the shame and reproach as he stands for God and stands for Christ. His appetite, his appearance, but will you notice please, his associations. In verse 6, all the days of his separation unto the Lord, he shall come up no dead body. He's not going to rid himself of the world and its ways. Some of us will go a little further. No shadow of God blesses him if you look at you to come after him. All the saints of God are separated people, but to go out a little bit further to God. Blessed thing. Not friend, the Bible tells me. The Lord said unto Moses, say, speak unto Aaron this son, say, on this wise, you'll bless the children of Israel. Now how the blessing comes? By coming down, yes. Being prepared to attack the enemy, defend holy things. And being workers, and seeing that God gets always, at all times, what he desires in relation to the ship. And now being worshippers that are clean and transparent. Our God, we bow again before thee in the precious name of the Lord Jesus. We pray that thou just encourage our hearts. We're thankful for these wondrous truths that the Word of God brings before us. We're thankful again that these things were written aforetime, but they're written for our learning, upon whom the end of the ages have come. And we're thankful that the desires of thy heart, now that what was set forth in a former day should be green by us, to teach us the way of God. We might walk with thee. We long to see the blessing of God in our day. And we do pray that it might please thee just to remember thy children and give thy blessing in all things. We ask of thee that we might seek to do that which is according to thy self and to thy word. And we commit and commend each into thy hand now and pray thy blessing upon the saints of God in the precious name of the Lord Jesus.